Arkansas does a pretty good job of cataloging its history. Travel throughout the state and you can find museums devoted to the earliest settlements of Arkansas, the blues, aircraft, country doctors, wine, railroads, diamonds, and local history. You could make a case, though, that the most important raw material in the development of Arkansas has yet to have its own museum. But the organizers of the Museum of the Hardwood Tree are working to remedy that omission. Bob Worley says he long knew the importance that lumber and the hardwood tree played in 19th and 20th century Arkansas, but it wasn't until he was in Japan and visited a silk museum there that he had the idea to devote a museum to the hardwood tree.
And when I walked in, here was a mulberry tree and a web and a worm, and from there on to $20,000 silk kimonos. So I turned to my wife and said, if Japan can build a nice museum around a worm, we should be able to build a nice museum around the hardwood tree.
Bob returned to Fort Smith and enlisted friends and acquaintances and formed a 501c3 nonprofit. He asked his friend, an architect and fellow Rotarian, James Reddick, to help. Mr. Reddick agreed, thinking he would be primarily on board for his architectural experience, but then found out he has deep ties to the lumber industry, like so many other people. His grandfather had worked for a wagon factory in the Fort Smith area.
I remember him telling me stories about their quality control was whatever kind of wagon they built, when they constructed it, they filled it with water. If it didn't hold water, then they took it apart. It didn't pass quality control. So I believe my dad's father worked for one of the furniture factories as a boiler operator. Or an engineer.
As Bob Worley began gathering information about industries connected to the hardwood tree, he found much more than he expected. Factories devoted to building tools, wagons, and furniture from the late 19th century to the height of Fort Smith's furniture-making days in the middle of the last century. Another of Bob's friends, Eldon Pence, began helping catalog material, physical examples, and intellectual material, too. He says many of the iconic figures that helped make Fort Smith a capital of furniture manufacturing are still alive.
We have been able to interview a lot of these individuals who were so prominent in the industry and record their story of how they started and how their businesses developed and how they got intertwined and just recorded, and then it develops into a written history of what they have to offer. So we regard that as a gem, so to speak, in our efforts to record our history.
The long-term plan includes a museum in a forest setting near the Janet Huckabee River Valley Nature Center. That goal has the endorsement of several entities, including the Nature Center, the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, and the University of Arkansas Fort Smith History Department. Earliest phases of the dream include gathering the artifacts and information needed to tell the story. Special museum software and a donated office have helped the museum organizers begin that process, and the building site has been acquired as well. Kelly Mulvihill, Nature Center manager at the Janet Huckabee Center, says the partnership makes sense.
We interpret the general geography and animals and plants in our region, and so this goes right along with the hardwood tree.
The Nature Center has a 12-acre lake stocked with fish and 170 acres with trails that meander through different ecosystems.
Lots of hardwood trees. We've got some oak savanna areas. We're trying to get back to oak savanna. We've got pine forest that Fort Chaffee planted for us. But yeah, it used to be Fort Chaffee at one time and it was turned over. But we interpret the river valley, the natural resources and natural history and what Game and Fish does in this area.
Museum organizers admit the actual museum building is likely years away. Other projects, including the planned U.S. Marshals Museum in Fort Smith, have the attention of many others right now. But Eldon Pence says the great thing about a museum dedicated to hardwood trees is that, in actuality, it already kind of exists.
But the important thing about the Museum of the Hardwood Tree is that it's right out there already. We have the museum. It's a museum at this point in time without walls, without bricks and mortar. And in cooperation with the Janet Huckabee Nature Center, which we have property that is contiguous with it, we plan on using that and hoping that they will use us as a dual educational facility and a dual attraction for not only the young and the students, but also the older people and tourists that come to town, because it is something that's different. But we're not, at this point in time, slowed down by the fact we don't have bricks and mortar.
He quickly adds that doesn't mean the museum board cannot accept tax-deductible donations or memorials. In the interim, organizers are developing ways they can work with the Nature Center, helping with tree identification on the land, assisting with trail building, and possibly creating a public demonstration of removing a dead tree with mule teams, as it might have been done more than a century ago. Certainly, there's no lack of history that can be told. Just a cursory investigation into the role of the hardwood tree in the region includes names like J.W. Fulbright, Edward Durell Stone, and Judge Isaac Parker. Railroads that expanded the country westward relied on many railroad ties manufactured here, and at one time, Arkansas had more than 1,000 secondary wood processing firms. James Reddick says the museum's board and organizers really want the anecdotes that will help eventually fill the museum.
We've got a number of photographs and documents. We've got a few artifacts, but what we'd really like to have is more stories, and the stories about people and how they related to businesses and how it all worked economically. One that Bob found recently I thought was really neat was how the people in the rural areas brought wood, how they cut wood and brought it to Fort Smith to sell every day. And on the weekends, there would be so many people coming into town that the wagons would stack up like a half a mile deep. Well, that tells me that they weren't coming from South Sebastian County. They were probably coming from Crawford County and backing up at a ferry somewhere.
There was so much commerce on some of those Saturdays that banks in Fort Smith would have to wire banks in Fayetteville to help replenish the tills by Saturday night. But the museum will not be sharing stories just from Fort Smith. Bob Worley says there were wood-related firms all over. Baseball bats were made in Harrison, for example, and then there was the Ben Pearson plant in Pine Bluff.
Bow and arrow plant in Pine Bluff that employed over 1,200 people, and they were the world's largest producer of bows and arrows for, I think, about three decades. Singer Sewing Machine Company in Truman, Arkansas, thousands and thousands of cabinets for the sewing machines. And, of course, Harrison, you mentioned Harrison, Arkansas, baseball bats, which is a little unusual. Not too much ash, we thought, in North Arkansas, but we find out now there was a lot of it.
Organizers say they also want to discuss management of trees and forests, that the environmental aspect is an equally compelling part of the story. But the human stories are the ones that will likely capture the attention of many people interested. And Bob Worley says those kinds of stories keep turning up. One of his favorites involves the J.A. Hopkins family, a prominent part of the Van Buren community. That family owned and operated a sawmill and plant in nearby Davidson, Arkansas, that manufactured hardwood flooring, plow handles, and occasionally one other item.
If anyone died in the community, why, they would blow the whistle at the mill, and they would all come in the middle of the night and build a walnut casket or box to bury the people in.
He says those kinds of communities were all over the state, and he hopes that the eventual Hardwood Tree Museum can share that history. You can find out more information at hardwoodtreemuseum.org or at the museum's Facebook page.